This is Weekly Call-In with Congressman Newhouse. Got started about 20 seconds late, excuse me.
Request that were given to say that their pork barrel, we got a lot of good things in there for communities throughout Central Washington, as did other members of Congress, and it's not additional spending, just so you know. That program is actually pulls back some of the constitutional rights that Congress has from the executive branch, which was given up, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. So instead of faceless bureaucrats making decisions on where funds should go to local projects, members of Congress make those choices. I would agree that I don't necessarily support every single one of those, but the process that the House has is very transparent. There's accountability to it. It's a very difficult process to get something approved, and you know the Senate is different. I think we could throw rocks at a lot of the different things the senators approve, but I'll stand by our process in the House. I think it is actually a more responsible way of directing federal funds. Some of the other things. First of all, let me just say the alternative here would have been to continue the appropriation from last year, which was essentially the Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi budget with all of their priorities in place and spending in place. We made a lot of adjustments and reductions over the next decade. I think this projects to spend $200 billion less than would have otherwise, which I think is important as we start to reduce, and we have to reduce federal spending. And Delmer, a shutdown, I've lived through them. You've seen them before. In the end, all they do, and that would have been the alternative had we voted no, would cost the taxpayer billions and billions of dollars. And so we kept the government open. We were able to increase, give our men and women in uniform a pay increase. And I think we started down the path of fiscal responsibility by reducing spending. Now, not everything in there is something I support. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But there's always a decision you have to make, weigh the good and the bad. And, you know, there's never a perfect bill in this situation. I got to say that the positive outweighed the negative. And so I ended up supporting it. And this allows us to get some of our conservative Republican priorities in place and continue to build on that foundation so that we can move our priorities into the future. So, you know, our process, it's kind of like they say, making sausage. It's never pretty, but the end product is something that the majority can support, and that's this process was no different. So we'll continue to work through this and improve and do better. And I hope that we can continue Republican majorities so that we can continue to build on the successes that we've had and reduce the number of things that people like you and others and me don't like about the end product of these things. So I hope that begins to answer your questions and concerns, but you know, our system is not always, it doesn't always yield the perfect product. But I think in the end, we came up with something that was much better than what we had before and builds on something that would help us improve into the future.
Well, like I said, I still can't understand the justification. Here we are, the majority in the House, and I don't think it would have been any different if the Democrats would have been the majority. I don't think we The things that the Republicans have surrendered one right after another to push this bill through. And there's another thing too. There was no reason for this bill to show up at the last minute. That was just Democrats pulling the same thing they pull. So if we had a government shutdown, how many we've had 4 or 5 and I know of, and the national parks are closed. The people get laid off and they get 2/3 of their wages. But the end game is that Republicans got to start pushing back. I mean, we're losing this country. And it's just like, here we are giving Jordan a $1.4 billion a year for border security. And now we just gave him another $500 million. So there's a lot of increases in this budget that I can see that we're, and it's not like it's a one-time payment. These payments are going to be again and again. So.
Well, certainly appreciate your input. And like I said, the shutdowns cost billions of dollars. So I don't think that's keeping the government open is better than closing it. But you're right. We control 1/2 of 1/3 of the government. So it tells me we've got to work harder to increase our majority in the House and in the Senate and hopefully in the White House. And that will give us more ability to do some of the things that you're describing and more to get our fiscal house in order. So I don't disagree with you. And I understand the frustration but I also understand we need to keep working hard towards our goals. So I can just say thank you. And I expect to continue to get your input.
Well, it's so upsetting. It's just like, this is going to push inflation increase more and more. It's going to really push it up. And the young families they're not going to have a chance to be able to own a home or whatnot. That dream is disappearing so fast. And as more money we spend, the more we print, the more inflation increases, the less chance they have for a real good quality of life.
No, you're right. I totally agree. And you know what has to happen, Delmer? We're talking here, this spending package overall is less than 1/3 of the overall spending that the federal government does on an annual basis. Less than 1/3. We could eliminate all of that, and we would still be in a positive budget situation. We've got to address all of federal spending, and that's where I think that the hard work has to start, and that includes things that people don't want to talk about. But we have to reform those programs under mandatory spending, or we'll never get our fiscal house in order or balance. So, and that does put into jeopardy all those things you mentioned. Inflation, one of the biggest drivers of inflation is the cost of energy in this country. And I can point to many different decisions that this administration, Joe Biden, decisions he has made to increase the cost of energy in this country. And that's driving inflation more than anything else. So that's one area that I've been really focused on is helping us get back to energy independence, reduce the cost of energy in this country, because it's taken a bite out of everybody's household budget and causing the cost of living to go through the roof. We know that in Eastern Washington, absolutely. The price of gas is almost $5 a gallon, and that's got to stop. So just so many things that we have to do, Delmer, and your frustration, I share. I really do. But we've just got a lot of work ahead of us, and I think the help in that work is going to, not to make this a political call, but we've got to have more Republicans. We've got a small majority in the House. We've got to build on that. We need the Senate and the White House.
Well, getting back to energy for a minute, but and I might have missed it, but does Congress have any bills that would increase the use of natural gas, or a bill that would provide funding for modular nuclear energy?
Oh, very good points. And I'm a big fan of both, continuing the use of natural gas and building on our nuclear industry. We are pushing back very hard on this administration, who continues to reduce the permitting available for companies to drill for oil and natural gas. I am a strong proponent of what I call the all of the above energy future, where we need all sources, and we need more energy. We can't afford to be breaching dams on the Snake River. We can't afford to be taking anything out of our energy portfolio. We have to add to it. We have to utilize all forms available to us. That includes natural gas, and that includes nuclear, which, fortunately, we in the state of Washington, we have a great nuclear history and a great nuclear future. The small modular reactors that you mentioned, I think those are going to be a big part of our energy portfolio in a very short amount of time. And we are working very hard through legislation to make that happen. And interestingly, through the appropriations process, which we were just discussing, actually does move some resources to the development of the nuclear industry in our country. So you're absolutely right. We've got to get back to energy independence, energy dominance, and not be importing energy from other countries around the world. You know what this administration is doing, Delmer? They're waging a war on fossil fuels in the name of climate change. They want to force every single American out of their gas-powered automobiles, cars and trucks and pickups, into electric vehicles. That is a rule that has been adopted by this administration. By 2035, I believe, it will be illegal to buy an internal combustion engine powered vehicle if they maintain those rules, if we can't stop them. And let me tell you, I don't think EVs are bad. I think they're part of the future. But I, for one, I do not want the federal government telling me what I can and can't buy. I think for many of us in rural Washington and rural America, where there's not a charging station on every block, where you're hundreds of miles from one, where it gets cold in the winter, where your batteries are not as they don't perform as well as they do in the summer. I just think that it's good for some people, but don't force it on everyone where it may not work in their area. I think we need choice. I think Americans want choice. And I think we can provide both and still be good environmental stewards. So,
well,
the answer is yes to your question. Go ahead.
It goes back to, I don't know, do you know who David Blood is? And he teamed up with Al Gore early on in the global warming thing. And just like he was a hedge fund operator, and just like he said that the future, to make money in the future, it's in climate change. That's where the money's at. Boone Pickens. I was against all this renewable energy till I found out how much money there is involved in it. I mean, and it's the same today. That's what's going on. It's not saving. I mean, you've got, excuse me if I rant on here, but you've got King City, California. You've got cars backed up for 2 miles waiting for 12 charging stations. I mean, you can't build an economy when it comes to a standstill, everybody waiting to get charged. And what does a charging station have to use to charge cars? Diesel generators. I mean, this is ridiculous, this whole thing. And it goes right, you can go through this, the the solar or the wind. You know, maybe out in the desert, solar's fine, and I don't know. But, I mean, you look at all the problems that Texas, Iowa, and Kansas is having with this renewable energy, and then you go across the water to Australia and see the problems they're having. This stuff is not sustainable. It's not profitable, you know, so.
Well, it's profitable to some people, I think, but you're right. I think, like I said, I'm not against electric cars. I just don't want to be told I have to buy one. And they may be just fine for some people that, you know, just drive around town every day and don't go very far, but it doesn't work. And the technology is not there. The infrastructure is not there. We don't have enough electricity to power all of them. And so, you know, just so many things that are wrong with that. And then at the same time, this administration and the governor of our state of Washington wants to breach dams on the Lower Snake River, taking away clean, renewable, CO2-free power that we need. So there's so many things that don't make sense about all that.
Well, I think if you go back to Blood's statement, and that's been 30 years ago, if you want to make money, get into climate change. So.
Yeah,
I mean, him and Al Gore did a pretty good job of making money. So,
well, Al Gore's been flying around the country in a private jet, going to all these climate meetings. So I don't know what that says.
Yeah, but anyway, so.
Well, Delmer, you have a good weekend. I hope you do.
Okay, okay, you too, Congressman. Thank you.
We'll talk soon. Bye bye.